In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Oh, you betcha. Time to talk movies and more as Alan Adams joins us on the telephone this afternoon. Hey there, Al.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty well, thanks. How's your Monday?
Oh, pretty good. Actually, just returning to the house after walking Stella.
Well, you are a tough man and she's a tough dog. It's cold out there, Al.
It is not great. I'm not going to lie. It is a bit chilly out there, for sure.
Although Stella's got that nice, thick coat, it probably didn't bother her a bit.
Oh, she's fine. Oh, yeah, she's out there rolling around on the grass.
That's crazy.
See the sparkle from the frost, and she's like, no, I'm still going to roll around in this.
Yeah, Ginger is the same way. I mean, she's the wind doesn't seem to bother her as much as it does me.
Yeah, well, it's just one of those things where it's like, I don't know if those fur coats just have a little bit more stopping power than, skin. I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, it's crazy. How was your weekend?
It was great, actually. We had the chance, along with, it appears, many other people, to hit up the Cirque du Soleil Corteo show at the Cross Insurance Center this weekend.
I heard that was phenomenal.
Man, I tell you what, I was obviously familiar with Cirque du Soleil, but I'd never seen one of their shows in person. And, man, do they ever, live up to the billing? It was spectacular. It was, nothing I'd ever seen before. Really just a phenomenal performance. And, yeah, it's a good one when, about half an hour in, you're sort of leaning over. I leaned over to Sharon, and I'm like, am I going to see somebody die tonight? Because it's just, just the things that they're doing are just so, spectacular and just physically impressive, while telling a pretty remarkable story, too. It was really, it was unlike anything I'd seen before. And just a phenomenal time. They put on a great show. And, just a reminder of, maybe a little reminder of how far the city of Bangor has come in the last 15, 20 years.
Yeah, what an awesome thing for the Cross Center to make available to folks.
Yeah, and they did, they did, four shows in 3 days?
Oh, wow. That's great.
And, it makes sense. When you saw their setup, you're just like, oh, well, there's no way you can do this. There's no way you can justify doing this as a one and done. It's just such an elaborate production. With the staging and, all the flying and the rotating stage, just so much stuff. It was really just a remarkable, remarkable viewing experience. And, it was one of those things where I think everybody involved, it seemed like they were having a good time, and so we were having a good time.
Nice. Well, that's awesome. Well, what have you got for movies to talk about this week?
Well, I just got the one this week, but considering Corteo is the story, it's the story of a clown's funeral, an Italian clown's funeral, it dovetails very nicely with the movie I did get to see this weekend, which was Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio.
Oh, man. I can't wait to hear what you think about this.
Oh, man. Okay, so streaming on Netflix, I think it had a very brief theatrical release, but it was it hit Netflix this weekend. And, it was really interesting, particularly coming so hot on the heels of the recent Disney sort of remake, I guess you call it, that hit not so long ago. It will come as no surprise to anyone who is familiar with Mr. Del Toro's work. This is a much darker take on the story than what we've traditionally been fed by Disney and those folks. And honestly, much truer to, I think, the roots of the original story. We don't need to explain the story of Pinocchio. It's set in Italy, post World War I. And, you have a toy maker, who has, Del Toro is very much more explicit in this story than we've seen in recent, in other versions of Pinocchio, where it's very clear that Geppetto we get to see Geppetto with his son for a fairly extended like opening before the commonly known tragedy strikes. He loses his son, and in a fit of, well, honestly, like drunken rage, he sort of slams together this makeshift puppet with the idea that it's going to be like he's just angrily trying to like fill the hole left by his lost son. The spirits of the forest decide they're going to grant his wish, but as in so many folk tales and fairy tales, be careful what you wish for. And so the Pinocchio we get is far from like the instantly sweet sort of little boy type that we get. I mean, he's a pure like agent of chaos. Like it's like he's almost amoral. And so you have just him rampaging around, like, you know, breaking stuff and just generally like being pure, like rampaging id, while Geppetto is frankly angry about the whole thing. And you've got Sebastian J. Cricket. I assume the J is for Jiminy, but I don't know. It's never stated. But Sebastian Cricket is our narrator. He is our narrator because he happened to live in the tree that was felled to make Pinocchio. He had holed up there in an effort to write his memoirs, like you do, to share his very fascinating life story. But instead is tasked by the spirits of the forest to serve as a guiding light for young Pinocchio. And then off we go. The first bit sort of cues to the story we're familiar with. We get the evil carnival owner, voiced, by the way, by Christoph Waltz, who's clearly having a fantastic time, and his pet monkey, voiced by the wonderful and talented Cate Blanchett, because of course.
Wow, I like it.
It's Guillermo del Toro, so it's like, oh yeah, you want me to be a monkey? Sure, Guillermo, I'll do that. You've got Tilda Swinton as the voice of the spooky spirits, and Ewan McGregor is the voice of Sebastian J. Cricket. Really just a hell of a cast list as far as the voice cast is concerned. And so we have our evil carnival owner and, dragooned into servicing, performing for a pittance and signs a contract and is sort of, whisked away. But there's another element to this story that you don't see in the Disney version, the rise of fascism in post-World War I Italy, which plays a pretty important part in this movie. So much so that one of the local men in Geppetto's village, voiced by Ron Perlman, who's great, basically is like, this wooden puppet of yours, he can't die. That's the perfect soldier. And so he wants to send Pinocchio to become a soldier, which is, as things develop, we find out both how good and how bad an idea that might ultimately prove to be as the movie progresses. And, and then there's the stuff with, the sea monster and all that. But it's all, like, a lot, most of the beats are familiar, but not, like, they're not anything like what we're accustomed to seeing from this particular story. And particularly Del Toro's decision to really lean into the sort of anti-fascist messaging inherent to the original story and to really bring that out. Like Rich, Mussolini is a character in this movie. Like, we actually see Mussolini, and he is rendered as comically as you would love him to be. He's significantly shorter than everyone else in the film.
I love it.
And he's kind of dumb. It's like, yes, short, dumb Mussolini is exactly the Mussolini we want in a movie like this. So, and again, the logistics of it, there's a whole bunch of afterlife stuff where skeletal bunnies like take you to the underworld. But, if you're living with a borrowed soul, you can come back. There's a very complicated, metaphysical aspects to this film, along with, the fact that it's, a living puppet who's going to fight for the fascists. In pre-World War II Italy. So again, as I said, there's a lot going on in this movie. I gotta say, it is It's great. It's just great. It looks phenomenal. Like, there's, what did I see? Something along the line, like, it took several teams of animators working, like, I think, like, something like 3 years to make this, to bring this movie to light. And it is, like, and every, and you can see every second of it. Like, it is just so remarkably made. Like, it just, it doesn't look like anything you've seen before. And it's computer animation, but it has, it captures the energy of, like, oh, like, your classic, like, stop motion, like, Ray Harryhausen. Like, it's got, like, all those elements. Like, it feels textured and real in a way that computer-generated stuff rarely does. So you can really see the time spent and invested in making it look precisely the way Del Toro wanted it to. And, you know, you add to that these elements of the story that we're familiar with, but twisted just a little bit, you know, and darkened. Like, you're seeing sort of basically the shadow version of the Disney film. And then, you know, these wild, like, veers off course, you know, and it always comes back to the story that you know, but, like, you're just, like, these wonderful sort of, like, to those of us who are familiar, they feel like tangents, but it's very much of a piece with the story that's being told in this particular movie. The script is great. The vocal performances are phenomenal. The young man playing Pinocchio is great. The gentleman playing Geppetto, I want to say his name is David Farmer. I don't know if that's quite right. He's probably best known as the janitor from the Harry Potter movies. But yeah, just such a wonderful collection. I mentioned Ewan McGregor, Kate Blanchett, Christoph Waltz, Tilda Swinton, Perlman, like on and on and on. Just this wonderful collection of talented people, all of whom, or a number of whom, have worked with Del Toro before. So it's like, it's one of those things where it's also indicative of, oh yeah, he must be super cool to work with because these people keep coming back and keep being part of these incredible projects that he's doing. But yeah, it's just, it was a remarkable movie watching experience. Like, I didn't know what to expect. I knew it was going to get weird. But I didn't realize how affecting it was going to be, like, emotionally. Like, he really found a way to sort of mine, emotions, both emotions that, you know, you felt before, like fathers and sons and whatnot, but also this idea of, you know, what real sacrifice can mean in terms of the people around us. And, you know, you tie all that together with, again, just a stunningly, beautifully weird look. The aesthetic is something that, you know, it can't be stressed enough how wonderful it is. It should be noted, I don't know how kids are going to do with this one. Like, particularly the real young ones. Like, it's, like, it gets pretty intense in some spots, and the look of it is just disjointed and off enough where I could see it being pretty unsettling for the younger set. But, you know, like, you know, kids who are, you know, I don't know, you know, school age and up, maybe a little older than that, will probably be fine. Like, I'm sure they see weirder stuff on, you know, on Nickelodeon at this point. But yeah, and the darkness of the message probably shouldn't be understated. I guess what I'd say is, be prepared to potentially have some complicated conversations with your kids after watching this movie. Questions raised about, you know, life and death, but also, I don't know, you know, good and evil. Like, I mean, there's some big questions that are being tackled by this, certainly larger than you might expect from, you know, Pinocchio. But here we are. It is Guillermo del Toro, after all, and this is a guy who has always been fascinated with the other, and honestly, like, what's more other than a little wooden boy who's been brought to life by crazy forest magic?
I can't wait to see it. May not have the little guy watch it until I've seen it first.
I would say a vetting is probably in order.
That sounds good to me, but I can't wait to see it. The previews look great.
It's just phenomenal, Rich, and like just it feels like it will check a lot of boxes for you. I think you're going to enjoy it very much.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Al. We appreciate it as always.
Hey, my pleasure, man.
Hope the rest of your week is just absolutely ducky, and let's do this again next Monday.
Works for me.
All right. Thanks, Al.
Hey, thank you.
Alan Adams talking movies with us on Pass the Popcorn on Downtown.